Let's start our conversation with Tom Gimbel. He is the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Visit thelasallenetwork.com. Hey, Tom, welcome back. How are you?
Good to be with you, John. I'm just going to throw out Joe Girardi, and then we can move on. I think he'll be the new manager.
I would have taken Joe to replace Madden. I would take Joe any day, any way, anywhere. I don't know if he wants. I don't know. Do you know what Joe Girardi wants?
Well, we haven't had breakfast lately, but my guess is he'll take that job. He'll get that job.
Tell the listeners who do not hear you with some regularity on the Wintrust Business Lunch what you do, Tom.
I am the founder and CEO of a company by the name of LaSalle Network. We're a national recruiting, staffing, and culture consulting firm that's been around for a little over 20 years.
You and I were talking the other day about a second round of stimulus. What was your take on the need for a second round of stimulus?
Well, my take is that we've got to be rational about this, and just handing out money because people say they want it and people who aren't working say they need it is sometimes jumping the gun and taking nothing away from workers who are hard hit. What we did in April was a stimulus plan that gave a check to anybody who made under $75,000, whether they were unemployed or not. And there was just a lot of fear. And we've had over 7 months now to have a practical approach to this and to do what's right. And the number one thing people are talking about, aside from the health problems, which are very real, is jobs. Giving money to people doesn't help people get jobs. That's a long-term effect. And we've got the analogy that's right, John, is giving someone a fish, they eat for a day. Teach someone to fish, they eat for a lifetime.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems with that, as you know. I think you're conflating, for instance, the unemployment supplement with the stimulus check. I don't like that some people got more than others, or some people had need more than others, and it wasn't balanced that way. It was just scattershot. But I always saw the stimulus check as less for the recipients and more for the people they would spend the money on. So as long as the money got into the economy somehow, and I didn't get a stimulus check, but I understood what it was doing, I thought that the restaurant I like to go to is still open because there was stimulus in the economy. So somebody was spending money on sandwiches and pizza and dinners, and that was the bottom line. Now, some people benefited more than others from that, but I think what one needs to do is stop looking over their shoulder at who got how much. What do you make of that?
I think there's a fair argument to that, and you're a rational thinker, John. I've known you for a while, but simultaneously, there's people who have that same approach and then say, it's not fair that Amazon makes more money or Target makes more money and these companies make more money. You can't have it both ways. If the goal is we're giving stimulus for people to spend it and keep it in the market, that's all well and good. But, you know, we also have the problem of who controls what the person that gets the money does with what they have. If they lay off their workers and they run a thinner staff so the owner of the restaurant can have more money and make their BMW payments, then it's not necessarily really a good thing. There's this misnomer out there that every person that runs a small company, they're just wonderful people who have always managed their business well and are now getting hurt. And there's a belief that, you know, Jeff Bezos and anybody who's worth $1 billion is just a greedy SOB, and that's not right either. There's a happy medium. What we've got to do is figure out the motivational and the health way to get people
right.
Working.
Okay, but you that's where I take a little umbrage with what you're saying. You know, you teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. You give him a fish, he eats for a day. I don't think that analogy is apropos to what happened with the last round. I do like the president's idea of piecemeal stimulus. If we can't pass a $1 trillion thing, could we at least get the airlines saved and give everybody that is supposed to get a check, figure it out, $1,200? I hope you agree with me on that. Let's continue this conversation in a minute. This is WGN. You're listening to WGN Radio. Speed jokes 1 hour from now. We do them every weekday at 9:30, we play them back in the 11 o'clock hour. Also, it's Monday, so our Mega Monday Morning Music Madness quiz will come your way. You could win a fall-ready Mega hoodie if you can name that tune. We've got some good travel songs, songs about sailing. You know, Chris Columbus and all of that. I know it's Indigenous peoples, Chris Columbus. But anyway, Chris Columbus is also on our mind, and we were thinking about sailing. We have songs about ocean voyages and sailing. In our Music Madness Monday morning quiz, you'll hear that in the 11:30 to 12 noon half hour. We're visiting right now with Tom Gimbel. He is the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Tom was on the Wintrust Business Lunch the other day, and we were having a conversation about the stimulus and the unemployment supplement, neither of which are in your mailbox or on a debit card for you or in your bank account. Tom, I must tell you, I am surprised that the Congress, with an election looming, did not find a way to get that done. Are you?
A little bit. You asked a question before we went to break about Trump and the piecemeal, and my answer is, yes, I like it a lot that we are doing more, that there would be a piecemeal offering.
Yeah.
The problem is the Republican Senate gets a little bit hypocritical, and if the Democrats wanted to do a piecemeal deal in order to do something, I think that they would say no. So I'm a centrist, and I do understand why in a government that's been run with a lot of fat and bills, and that's how things have been done, why they would be a little offended by the fact that now, 3 weeks before an election, the president's trying to do this purely to gain political points. The other question he asked was about the airlines, John, and I think that the government should help out the airlines. However, I don't agree that they shouldn't pay back the citizens. I think if the government helps them out, that the airlines should pay them back, whether it's over 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, that if the government's going to be in the business of helping out publicly traded corporations, they should be in the business of getting paid back.
I agree with that. And I also think then the price they have to pay for it is some government regulation, right, about rates or fees or something like that. If we keep saving them, General Motors, Boeing, American Airlines, fine. I mean, I don't want them to go away either. I don't mind my dollar being spent that way. But then I think we get to have some skin in the game, too. You agree?
Yeah, I think you have to be. I do. The short answer is yes. I think you have to be a little bit clear of regulations. It's kind of like a parent giving a kid money and saying, but you can only do this. And the kid says no. And then he ends up homeless living under the bridge on Lower Wacker, right? So you got to be careful about the regulation, but we sure as heck should get paid back on the investment.
By the way, the Dow's up 274 right now, and the NASDAQ is up 254. So the tech sector continues to go strong. It's been hard to keep track of what the president was saying, because at first you had this Republican-backed initiative and the Democrat, and they were a couple trillion apart. They keep getting closer and closer. Then the president said, let's do it piecemeal. But over the weekend, I also read that some of the Republican senators don't like the largesse of the package that the administration is putting forward now. So I'm not sure if we're on the piecemeal thing or on a, multi-layered stimulus package today.
It would never happen, John, but wouldn't it be great if candidates didn't have any party affiliation?
I don't see how it's so... Well,
what if it were illegal? What if it were illegal to say what your party was? If there were no... And all you could do is run based on your beliefs.
Yeah.
And you had to state what you actually believed in, not the party line, because you wouldn't have a party line. We'd be voting for individuals based on what they actually believe, and you'd actually have to convince people to agree with you, not for what they're going to get down the road on their bill, but to actually help our citizens. It will never happen, but it's a thought.
So how would you structure a stimulus bill? Who gets it, and at what point do you cut them off? How much and when do you cut them off?
Number one, as I said on Friday, I do like the idea of a declining federal payment for people who go back to work, meaning if you take a job that's X percentage less than what you were making before, you're going to get a certain amount of dollars. I think that could be figured out, and that would be a positive thing. I think number two is that state unemployment still exists, and I think a lot of times people are forgetting that what we've always had, we've never had federal unemployment like this. We've always lived on state unemployment, and that is still going. So I'm doing a double negative. There isn't zero unemployment. There's just the federal part that was given as an extra in April is what expired. So we got to be conscious of using the words, there isn't any money anymore for people who are unemployed. And then lastly, we shouldn't give any stimulus to anybody who's still employed at the same job they've had for the duration or at the same amount. I think when you start doing those things and everything, you don't have to shoot every bit of ammunition you have in your gun. You can do it little by little and see how things go, because once we get a vaccine and or a treatment, whether it's remdesivir or something else, we're going to know that we can get back to work and the travel will pick up. and then you can't get the money back once you've given it. And just to have a little bit of fiscal responsibility isn't a bad thing.
There are 10 million or something like that. My number's not perfect, but there are several million more people looking for jobs than there are. You keep saying, well, you could go work at a call center. There are job people are looking for people to work at Target or warehouses or at call
yep.
centers. And if everybody who is unemployed started to take those jobs, you would not have enough jobs. And I don't exactly appreciate the notion that somebody who's had a career in X is suddenly going to say, oh, good, I get to go work at a call center, that's some sort of viable solution for them in lieu of the stimulus check or an unemployment supplement, which might hold them on until their career comes back. That's
yeah.
not a question.
John, what do you think your or my grandparents would have said to that notion in 1930?
I don't know.
What do you think the greatest generation would have said that enlisted to go to war, or people who were drafted into Vietnam? I mean, I get what you're saying, and it's a tough thing, but we also have a generation of people now, multiple generations, I'm 48, of people that don't want to move for a job. And people, I mean, this country was built on people that traveled west for opportunity. This country, we live on the story of our grandparents and our great-grandparents during the Great Depression, and the picture we saw in history books of selling apples on the corner for a dime. And now we've got people that won't take a good-paying job where you can work remotely out of your house because it's not the same skill set that you had 7 months ago. This is a global pandemic. The world has changed. Skills have changed. Technology has evolved. And there might be people that still want to be blacksmiths, but guess what? The days of horses aren't around for transportation. You have to evolve and change. And whether it's a pandemic, an economy, technology, things happen that we don't want them to, and it's how we tackle them. And waiting for handouts rather than looking aggressively for jobs is not a positive.
Does it matter to you that one of the differences between, say, 1929 and 2020 is that the government shut these businesses down? The government told people, you cannot go work and earn a living now, right? So the virus didn't do it. The government did. And I wonder if there's an obligation there different than what has happened in the past. I don't know.
That's true to an extent, but I will tell you that I go to work in the loop every day, and there's people that businesses are opened for voluntary access into their buildings, and people don't want to come.
Yeah,
there is a population of people that don't want, and they could walk.
I'm downtown right now. It's tumbleweeds downtown,
right? And that's because people don't want. Now, some are genuinely scared, and I'm not questioning that. But there's also a lot of people that just don't want to. And there's two sides to every story, and I am not saying that there is a one-size-fits-all on this. However, this is an entitled society that we live in. And social media I would tell you the biggest difference between 1929 and 2020 is social media versus everything else. And that, you know, people are saying, well, I'm seeing it on social media that my cousin or friend is not going into the office, so I'm not either. Well, that didn't happen 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. This keeping up with the Joneses has evolved from wanting their car or their house to wanting the same work requirements, salary, and location. And that's a skill-based thing, not a dollar-based thing. And certain people have the ability to do that, and certain people don't.
Hey, John, I'm a corporate travel agent. Where is our industry bailout? We are the people who place people in most of those seats. I presume they're talking about airplanes here. And I guess they're not surely they're not getting the business that they were previously. 773 said, I hope this man is on your shore more often. He speaks the truth. It's Tom Gimbel, who is the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Is it the LaSalle Network, Tom? Is that your website?
Yeah, it both work. We own both domains, so it's either LaSalle Network or the LaSalle Network.
It's good to hear you. Thanks for your patience today, and let's talk again, Tom.
You got it, John. Be safe and stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the plan, isn't it? Thanks for the time. It's